Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Darby and Dan Schreiber.
From a dodgy basement in Boston, the salty coast of the United Kingdom, and the home of the Hollywood stars, the three fools of fascination return in The Cryptid Factor.
Woo-hoo-hoo. And we're
back.
Yeah! Yes! Yeah. No, I get the exclamation mark at the end. Not you, Dan.
Sorry, got excited. That was a great intro. The three fools of fascination. I'm in.
Yeah.
I know.
Yes, please.
I was proud of that bit. I was, actually.
Yeah.
The rest, I take it or leave it. Yeah, this is it. This is our April edition.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I am genuinely coming to you from a dodgy basement in Boston at the end of a bit of a world tour, and I'm so happy to see your guys' faces and to be doing this.
It's
feels
been a
like
while.
Home, even though I'm in a dodgy basement.
Yeah, I've aged incredibly since the last time. I'm now the big 5-0. Of course, Woo! We've talked about discovering Nessie along with the help of Chi and her photographs, and Steve and his allowing it to happen. And
did you just malfunction for a second there?
Well, I think what you were trying to remember, your brain was trying to remember one of the highlights of the last episode, which, of course, just to help you out, all of that was correct and great. But probably the biggest highlight was, of course, me joining Cameo. And I just wanted to help you remember
Oh, yes.
I mean, that was quite a big highlight.
How did that go?
Well,
it's been a few weeks since we've joined Cameo. So I'm quite excited to hear how many videos you've made.
Well, I've done a few. And I have to say, I did it as a joke. And I'm now actually really enjoying doing them because I'm one of six kids, and of course I never got to talk because I was number five in the pecking order. Wasn't the youngest, so I didn't get spoiled. Wasn't the oldest, so I had no authority. And so at the dinner table I couldn't talk, nobody would let me talk. And so now it's like people saying, please talk at me. And so I make these little videos, and I think they're expecting like maybe a minute or two, and then I find myself clocking 10 minutes, and I go, okay, I better wrap this up now.
Yeah. And it's worse than me. You should not be on Cameo.
And you say a few. You're saying a few. You've done, I think it's something like 37 plus, right?
Is that how many it has been?
Wow.
It's been something like that. The highlight, though, I got one that came through, and it was a happy birthday message for somebody's daughter, a guy called Mike. I did the shout out. I was quite proud of my work. Sent it off. Next thing, I get an email from a Michael P. Masters saying, thank you so much for the cameo you did for my daughter.
Oh, amazing.
I did it for the author of my favorite theory of aliens just being us from the distant future, Professor Michael P. Masters. Even he's into my cameos, guys. That's awesome. Was a big proud moment.
That's fantastic. Yeah,
so. How many videos have you received of people saying, can you please stop talking and sending big long videos to me?
Most of them, but they've had a few complaints of like, oh, I had to edit it. I'd spent another couple of hours after you sent it editing it down before I could use the video.
Anyway. Hey, I've got something to report quickly, which is that while we couldn't the three of us get together, I desperately needed someone for the other podcast that I do about weird stuff, and Buttons was available and very kindly jumped on for the Rough Corner. So as ever, talking lazy code, Buttons brought that to the table. And since the episode went out, lazy code has just kept popping up, surrounding it nonstop.
No.
So, for example, one thing I said was I was randomly talking about books and I said, oh, in the Philippines, I remember when I was a kid, I used to go to the bookshops and every book was wrapped in plastic. It was like a cellophane wrapping over every single book. And I was like, God, I've never seen that since. I wonder why that happens. Couple days later, someone randomly, nothing to do with the episode, messages me saying that they're in Indonesia and they show a photo of my book in a bookshop wrapped in this cellophane. I haven't seen that in years and years and years. And then this one, I get sent this, right? You know, here we are, two or three of the Cryptid Factor hanging out on this thing. And let me see if I can play this.
Sometimes running a business can feel like running a marathon. And it is it.
Who's that? We're in quicksand. At the top of the show.
That's me.
But Zero Accounting Software can help.
We talk about you right at the beginning of the episode, and someone messages me going, I've just pressed play, and Darby's talking to me before I can hear you in Buttons.
Wow.
Lazy code.
I can't bear to be separated, you see?
Yeah.
And also, just on a side note, that Zero software is amazing. So if you do have any accountancy needs, definitely check them out. That's X-E-R-O.
I want to know the economics about what just happened there, because you were paid for an ad to do this ad, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And now I'm making money from your ad for playing it on my show. The only one not making money here is Buttons, who was guesting on my show.
Who ironically is the only one using Zero software, probably, out of the three of us, to organize the accounts for our podcast.
Yes. Yeah.
By the way, guys, we made $17 this week, so, you know, that's... Woo-hoo! I can show you on the graph. No, that's not true, Dan, because I then also, after talking on your podcast, I got two more cameo requests. So actually, I made $40.
So you did make money. Look at this.
Wow, there we go.
Look at us.
We just can't stop. The money's...
It's very exciting. Listen, I know because it's late for me that it's got to be a quick one, but I do have to do something before we get to our first bit of news, and that is...
Okay.
I have an update to give.
Oh.
A second exclusive.
Oh, no.
It's an update on Shribes' giant ships.
Oh, brilliant. I love this saga.
Buttons, can you share screen on a video I've just sent you?
I will, but only after we do this one quick little thing.
Oh, right.
Did you say that this was a Cryptid Factor exclusive?
Yes.
Well, then in which case, we need to...
Cryptid Factor!
Exclusive!
Okay, so just a bit of setup to this. I am now bringing in specialist experts to come and investigate. They obviously have to wait in my house until a ship arrives on the horizon, and then we go out. So it's a bit of an annoying process. This is my second guest to join us. Here we go.
Dan Schreiber here, reporting for the Cryptid Factor on the phenomena of the giant ships. So here, as we can see, at the end of the street is a giant ship.
Oh, I'll take your word for
it. Now, of course... We know that I believe what's going on is a mystery. What we need is eyewitness accounts. Last time I gave you Alex Bell as the first witness. Today we have a second witness. So, can I please get your name for the record?
I'm Leon Buttons Kirkbeck.
Leon Buttons Kirkbeck.
And I've traveled a very long way to come and see where this
Get out of town!
Now go.
Why does he show up everywhere?
I'm like a virus.
I can't understand it.
So,
I had to go see for my own two eyes. God. I had to see that for Mananum. It was like, come on.
Unbelievable. Like,
you can't. I've dedication to the phenomenon, guys. You got to have dedication. I had to.
You
had
make
to go
the unbelievable
it.
Even more unbelievable. That's what you do. We're trying to solve mysteries, and you are one. So you're not helping.
Oh no!
What was the bloody result then? Come on.
Buttons was in town, so he came down to where I live, and I realized I could get him to see this. So we did see there was a ship there that you see in the horizon.
Just to clarify, when he said I was in town, I was in Amsterdam, and Dan was like, can you please come and help prove this phenomena for me? And I was like, okay. So a quick little jaunt across the channel.
Yeah, just a sidetrack, a side mission.
Well, we made it to the seafront, and unbelievably, the ship was the same size. So I don't know what happened there.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it was an absolute disaster.
Disappointing.
Yeah. Hugely disappointing, given how far Buttons had traveled to see it.
Wow.
I have a few theories that it's to do with seasonal changes.
Okay. Seasonal vortex.
Seasonal vortexes. Yeah. So I was really down. I was really depressed about it. And then what ended up happening was we came back up to my place, and we looked down, and right on the horizon, you can see these giant wind farms. There's 60 of them in the distance, and they were huge.
Yeah.
So I was like, ah, okay, here we go. So we logged them. Buttons took a bunch of photos, and we went back down. And then Buttons?
They were totally smaller. By the time we went down, really? These windmills were tiny. But the weird thing is, hundreds of meters up the road, you took a photo, you could see the wind farms perfectly fine in your camera.
Yep.
You go down, walk a couple of hundred meters closer towards the ocean, and you take your camera up, exactly the same settings, exactly the same zoom level. And they were almost imperceivable. The camera couldn't even almost determine them. So there's something happening that makes them not only bigger, but clearer from back up the road as well. It was super weird. But the ship, it didn't work for the ship. Mm.
But you got photographic evidence of the windmills.
Uh-huh. We'll put it up on our Instagrams and what have you.
Yeah.
So that is further proof that Dan is living in some sort of magnetic anomaly.
Yep. Yeah. Vortex.
Yeah, exactly. And then that night, we went and got absolutely pissed in the Druid Society.
What?
And Buttons. Yeah! Buttons.
You did it.
He's applied.
Oh my God.
Buttons has applied to
I'm
be a
applied.
Druid.
And because you have to be drunk to apply.
Exactly. I don't remember applying, but apparently I applied. And it was fantastic. It was just as awesome as Dan had said. So we've got to get you there, Reese, and get you
certified,
applied as well.
Yeah.
We had a thought that maybe, or maybe this is giving away too much, but we thought maybe what we do is do a live show. In fact, a live show from the Druid Society.
That would be amazing.
Well, for us, maybe not so much for them.
Yeah. Just have a whole bunch of druids staring at us.
Yeah.
Not getting a single joke or reference.
Sadly, probably true.
All right. Well, that's fascinating stuff. Cool updates. That's awesome. And I guess some of the fans already know, but I am coming to the UK May 11th and 12th. And I'm doing a show with you, Dan, your live We Can Be Weirdos show on the 13th. Is that correct?
That's right. Yeah. I think we're sold out, except there's some standing seats left.
Oh, standing seats.
Yeah. When did that become a thing?
Standing.
In a theatre?
Who stands at a comedy gig?
Oh, it's a comedy room. Oh, yeah. Standing room. No, they'll be standing at the back.
Yeah, but that just doesn't seem right.
I always have standing room in my gigs.
This is a weird one. It's a weird theatre. I don't see even where you would stand in it. So anyway, but if anyone wants to stand, there's a few more tickets left.
Weird.
Yeah, I'll see how I go. I mean, I have not been good at standing lately.
If you turn up, I'll just, you know, and not only will it be weird, I'll just be brassed off.
Well, I just have to point out, guys, that with me being in the dungeon, the basement of this Boston old house.
Yeah.
I was home alone before. Now some people have turned up and they're flushing the toilets and washing their hands and that. And I can hear all of the pipes.
Right.
Running.
The inner workings of the realm.
Yes. So if anybody can hear that, that's what's going on.
Hey, if you turn up on this We Can Be Weirdos gig, Buttons, make sure you're dressed as a druid. comes through from the back of the backstage,
okay.
Through the audience, with a lantern. Okay. You've got to have a lantern.
Oh, yes. Yes, I will. But also, I by then will learn some spells or get some potions or something like that, just to make sure that I'm a legit druid.
Yeah, it's not very druidy in the druid society. We basically, the only person we spoke to is a guy who home makes his own moonshine, basically.
Oh.
Do you remember that, Buses?
Yes, he, yes.
Like real yes. heavy grade.
Some local alcoholic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He described the whole process and he's like, I can make 20 tons of this stuff, liters of this stuff in one go. And we're like, who do you sell it to? And he's like, oh, the drunken homeless dickheads on the street down there. And we're like, what?
Oh, wow.
It was really weird. Yeah.
He's adding to the problem.
Yeah, he's basically the biggest problem of alcoholism in this whole area, hanging out at the Druid Society.
Well, I have a better vision of the Druid Society in my head and I think I want to keep it that way.
Well, we actually haven't seen the Druid Society
yet. Let's change the vibe of the society.
That's what we need to do.
Yeah. Well, apparently there's a big meeting room upstairs that none of us have been to yet. We just went down to the bar. It feels like kind of like what it might be as a decoy bar where people walk in and go, doesn't feel like much like a... And then apparently you go up the stairs and the guy wouldn't show us up there. He was like, no, it's too, can't show you.
That's the real Druid Society. You're kind of in the waiting room.
Yeah.
And the Druid waiting room.
For people that haven't actually been qualified yet, you've got to probably do a good 20, 30 years of intense druiding before you can get back there.
That makes sense.
All right, well, let's kick into everyone's favorite segment.
Weekly World Weird News.
Crazy, freaky, watch out.
Okay, I'll kick off with this headline.
Yep.
Mystery as underwater anomaly larger than Texas spotted off African coast.
Ooh. Wow. Okay.
Freaky deaky.
I've got a bit of a water-based one as well, which is that a doomsday fish has been spotted in Taiwan.
Ooh. A doomsday fish.
Yeah.
Oh.
Is that just a really negative fish that's like... he's just full of dread. Like, nah. All his buddies have been taken up by hooks and he's like the last one left. He's like, let's end.
Just giving up hope. Well, totally by coincidence, because clearly we do not organize anything in advance with this podcast, but I have water-based and fish-based news as well.
No.
By chance, yes. My headline, scientists have a conversation with a humpback whale, which they hope will help mankind communicate with aliens.
Oh, yes.
Oh.
Okay, nice.
I know this one.
Oh, okay. Well, you kick it off.
Okay, so basically this comes from Newsweek. A wave anomaly captured by a weather mapping system sparked a global mystery, with some internet sleuths even claiming it proves the existence of aliens.
Oh, this is brilliant! Lazy code! Lazy code!
Yeah, yeah. We have lazy code. A giant cluster of waves over 80 feet high and spanning 2,000 miles, an area larger than Texas, appeared to move through the ocean off the coast of Africa on April 10th in a journey that lasted about 24 hours before it vanished. Some online commentators said the formation could only have been created by something moving under the surface of the sea, making it an unidentified submersible object. That's right.
Yeah.
A USO.
USO.
A graphic of the incident has been shared widely online and sparked numerous jokes and theories. Some suggest the anomaly shows the path of a giant underwater sea creature, like the fictional, that C-T-H-U-L-H-U. Anyone?
Oh, isn't that Calutha? Isn't that the...
Yes, That's Kaluza. So do you know what that is?
H.P. Lovecraft, isn't it? Like meant to be the giant beast of the ocean.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, there you go.
Not sure that's how it's pronounced.
Yeah. Or is it a submerged alien craft?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But Newsweek, the article I'm reading, has learned that, in fact, it proves nothing more than the fallibility of data after discovering that the anomaly was caused by a model error.
What do they mean? Hang on. What do they mean, a model error? There's some sort of catwalk model down there going, sorry, push the wrong button. I'm sorry, that was my fault. No aliens.
Yeah, a meteorological company have hired some catwalk models to operate.
Some out of work models, desperate to do anything.
The wave anomaly was picked up by Ventusky, who is a meteorological app. What is he? And he is run.
It does sound like a model's name.
This is where it gets really good. He's run by the Czech company Inmateo. Okay. Inmateo. Oh, no, Inmateo.
No, Inmateo's better. No,
it's a dating app. I got that wrong. Always get confused with Inmateo. That's where
they got all those models from.
Yeah. That, it's actually quite saucy. If you've got a friend and you've been friends for ages, but you actually want to get into them, you sign them up to this app, Inmateo. And they get a little ping on their phone and your photo comes up and they go, this is your mate. He's been your mate for many years. Actually wants to go further if you're keen. And you can either swipe left or swipe right.
Right.
Reese, have you checked your Inmateo app lately?
I've got a couple here. I get one from you every day.
I know. Please. Just a quick little swipe right.
Not interested.
Oh, but I thought you wanted to get into me. Come on, you always say that.
On their website, the company wrote, "We have created an entirely new system of displaying waves. Through the use of animated arcs, our visualization clearly..."
No buttons. No one can hear your wave.
Oh, no one can hear me waving.
This is an audio podcast still. So when you're waving at me, when you're doing a joke about you waving.
Matt, you got to admit, a whole new way of doing waves of like, and Mateo. That's like you're kind of going, hi, I'm into you.
Oh.
It's a new wave. It's a new type of, anyway.
Yeah. I used to be your mate. Now I want more. Our visualization clearly differentiates the direction of movement and height of both wind waves and swells. Mm. The graphic that showed the unusual sea activity near the coast of Africa has been shared on X, which is, I love this because it's, I don't know how long it's been X for, but every single time you always have to put formerly known as Twitter. They'll be saying that. I hope to God people keep doing this in the next 20 years and they're still calling X, formerly known as Twitter, just to piss that guy off.
They will.
By numerous times, including by an account called Think Tank, whose post received, what am I actually reading here?
We're not sure.
God, this is awful. Yeah, I think it was a anomaly.
Computer blip.
I still hold on to the belief that there's USOs cruising around there. That's a much better...
It says, please note that the model receives millions of data points and ships and buoys throughout the ocean. Problems can occur in such a large database. However, it may take a time to determine the exact cause of this error.
Oh, there you go. There you go.
Okay, it was a good headline, though.
It was a great headline.
Okay,
and
next.
I've just done a wee search of Inmateo.
Oh, yeah.
And I've found a website that says find an inmate in Massachusetts prison as a mate. There you go.
Oh, shit. Inmateo, yeah.
So somebody's already got it. And
someone is using it.
Yeah, there you go.
What? Give us more. Is it American only?
It's for those that want to have a relationship with someone who's inside.
How great. My backup news story for today actually is about jail.
Ah.
Maybe this guy's on Inmateo. But there's a prisoner who goes by the name Benjamin Schreiber. So he's a little bit of a namesake there. He's fighting to be released from jail because he has a life sentence. He did something horrible. He killed someone. But in prison, he died, but they brought him back to life. And he's arguing that technically he's finished his life sentence.
Oh, no. Oh, my God, that is good.
That's a classic Schreiber move.
That's the Schreiber brain in action.
That's genius.
So he's taking it to multiple places, the Court of Appeals in Iowa.
Because he technically died, yeah.
Yeah, he's like, I did it.
Wow.
I did the life sentence. This isn't second life now.
That's so funny. I hope he does not get off.
There's going to now, though, if he does get off, there's going to be a whole bunch of inmates trying to go do a flatlining experiment.
Yeah, that's true.
But what about your other story?
Yeah, so proper story. Doomsday fish, right?
Yeah.
Okay, look, really tragically, there was an earthquake that hit Taiwan a couple of weeks back, and there were lots of people injured. I think there were some deaths and so on. But in the lead up to it, there was a fisherman 30 hours before who reported that he found a 5-foot-long oar fish while he was fishing 11 miles south of Hualien City. Oh, it's Hualien City. That's interesting.
No.
Oh.
Yeah. And there's this big thing that I'd not heard of before, but traditional harbinger of earthquakes and tsunamis is if a fisherman sees an oar fish. So he caught this oar fish, and he didn't know what it was really, and it wasn't reported. But had that have been reported, the superstition is such that maybe a lot of people would have gone inland and got out of there if they'd known about it. So, yeah, there's a thing where people have thought that maybe if there's tectonic shifts and so on, an oar fish or other fish that are deep sea fish will come higher up to the surface area and get caught by a fisherman. But scientists say that generally that's not a thing. That's more a myth. So the fact that he caught an oar fish was weird anyway. But then the fact that 30 hours later there was a giant earthquake, which led to a tsunami, is a pretty weird coincidence.
I've heard this on numerous occasions, actually, with earthquakes, that oar fish have been seen. I mean, they're very deep sea dwellers. And it makes sense that obviously they can sense something's going on. It takes them up to the surface because otherwise you just don't see them. There was one caught off the coast of California a few years back, and there was earthquakes that followed that as well. So it's happened many times. So I think the general rule, even though it's in that myth status, should be if there's an oar fish caught at all, because they are, you know, predominantly living on the depths of the ocean, that the authorities should be alerted.
Yeah. Yeah, there needs to be a system. Just to qualify one thing I said, the Hualien City, that was on the mainland. It wasn't 11 miles that the fish was caught. It was 900 miles south of the epicenter that the fish was caught. So it was a bit of a distance, but still, you know, it's in the vicinity.
Right.
Yeah, and this is a thing, you know, I wrote about this in my book, because earthquakes, we have no idea when they're going to come. No matter what science we have, it just doesn't happen. So there were theories like this, that maybe like a fish can tell you. There was a guy in America who believed that missing cats, if you look into the newspapers and you see a lot of missing cat ads, that means an earthquake is on the way.
Oh, interesting.
Because cats know.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So the idea was is that they wanted to, someone proposed this in America, to set up a hotline whereby you would call it if your cat was missing. And then if they had enough of it, they'd be like, earthquake's on the way. We need to get ready. So they keep looking to the animal world to try and work out these earthquakes.
Yeah.
That's a very wise idea to do the phone line, because the big challenge is that there's not many newspapers printed anymore. So at some point, the whole system of trying to determine if an earthquake's coming, you're going to be like, guys, we're going to shut down the printing press. Nobody's buying the papers anymore. We can't. How will we know if an earthquake is coming? We have to keep printing the newspaper. Just blank pages, apart from the missing cat section. That's just all it's going to be. No news, nothing.
And by the way, there really should be a missing cat section in the newspapers. People would start buying newspapers again.
Exactly. If there was
just a beautiful double page spread of pictures of cats, like with, you know, their names and things like that.
That's good... Yeah. And then you could use that by pinning up the newspapers around the power poles around the city.
Yeah, you just use the newspaper, just print them up. There you go. Easy.
There you go.
Save paper too, and people making their own signs.
Exactly. Well, there's...
Well, there we
go. Thank God, we're here for solutions, guys. You've got to practice solutions. Wow, what would people do without us? Thank you. Okay, well, can I blast out my news story quickly?
Yeah.
This one, actually, believe it or not, I saw this at the headline once again. Scientists have a conversation, in little air quotes, with a humpback whale, which they hope will help mankind communicate with aliens. Now, I thought, okay, this is probably some AI modeling that marine scientists are using to try and understand the migration of these huge big mammals in the water or what have you. No, this is our dear friends at SETI, the Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence. They have put the whole expedition together and trying to communicate with whales as a proof point, or at least as a test to see whether or not we can actually figure out a way to communicate with aliens if and when we do actually come across them. Because obviously there's going to be a language issue.
Yeah.
Unless, of course, aliens are time-traveling humans from the future, in which case, of course, they'll speak any of our languages.
No, it'll still be... Like, look how different our language is to Shakespeare's time now. Like, it's going to be rough.
Yeah, that's true.
Language will evolve.
We'll have to send back, like, a thespian to come back and talk to us in 2020. Oh, yeah! Yeah! Oh, yeah! Yay! TikTok abound, you peasants!
Wait, who are you being there? Can you clarify what's this bit?
Well, if it's thousands of years in the future, they're going to just mash together Shakespeare and our language. Now, they'll just think, oh, something within those 200 years worth of language, surely that'll work.
Right.
So it'll all be messed up.
Yeah.
That was also because I didn't know how to do a time traveler from the future speaking our language today. So
yeah. And was that even Shakespeare? You were doing the guy who rings the bell in towns.
Yeah, surely he's in a Shakespeare play.
The town crier?
The town crier.
Is that what you were doing? I think that was the issue
remember?
I had with it.
Yeah.
I was confused as to what this character was.
He was in one of those Shakespeare plays, Death of a Salesman or something like that.
That guy.
Was he?
Yeah, yeah.
Something. Romeo,
yeah, surely. Horatio! Horatio! Oh, where thou, hey, Horatio!
But he's on stage, is he?
Yeah. What I'm saying is that they're the only ones who remember how to talk Shakespearean. So if we had to send somebody back today, right now, to time travel back to Shakespeare time, you'd send a thespian.
You'd send the town cry.
You'd send somebody from the, you know, Romeo and Juliet. You'd go, oi, you. You want to go back and have a chat to them guys back in the past? Thank you.
We're going to send Kenneth Branagh back.
But they're actors.
That's the only person. Yeah.
So, right, that's what you're suggesting. Kenneth Branagh.
Yeah. No, but... Yeah.
Jono Roberts could do it.
Jono Roberts would be fantastic.
He's done a bit of Shakespeare.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But also, in the distant future, if we're like, guys, we need to send somebody time travel back to 2020.
Yeah.
Or this sort of time, they'd go, right, who's currently acting in Legally Blonde? Whoever's acting Legally Blonde, send them back.
Well, whoever's in Legally Blonde in the future.
Yeah. Yeah, doing Broadway in the future, much like people who are doing
Shakespeare. Why is Legally Blonde
now?
On in the future? How far in the future are we talking?
Well, it's the same thing as, like, I can guarantee you, nobody back in the Shakespeare days would have been like, you're telling me in 2020 they're still going to be doing this Romeo and Juliet bullshit? No way.
It's
like pretty average. And then so you never know. In 2022.
Where are you from? I'm from 2020. Oh, no. Oh, my God, that's an amazing year. Wasn't Legally Blonde big then? Yeah, it came back.
There's every chance. Legally Blonde or Book of Mormon. What other? I can't think of any other plays.
Those are the two. What about Spamalot?
Spamalot. It could be Spamalot. We send some. No, because they're just all talking like they were back in bloody Shakespeare Day anyway.
Oh, right.
Well, they could do both.
I don't think you've
they
seen Spamalot. They're not really.
Aren't they?
Let's move on to the article.
Okay. Sir Spamalot. Isn't it Sir Spamalot?
No, it's Camelot? Not Sir Spamalot. No, Spamalot is the name of the play. No, dude.
Read your article.
Just do the article. Do the article.
Read it.
Okay, here's the article. I've decided I'm going to read it in the style of Shakespeare. Hear ye, hear ye. No, I'm not going to. I would if I could, but I can't. So I'm not going to. Okay, here we go. A group of scientists had a conversation with a humpback whale in Alaska, and they hope principles learned from it will someday help communicate with aliens. The team was assembled by the SETI Institute, Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence, a non-profit organization whose mission is to search for extraterrestrial intelligence across the universe. While the organization normally looks to the skies, they turn their attention to the seas. Whales are a proxy for aliens, animal behaviorist Dr. Josie Hubbard tells the Post. This is, by the way, the New York Post, so take some of it with a grain of salt. They're intelligent creatures with a language that is foreign to us. The things we learn from communicating with whales could help us when it comes time to connect with aliens. Their language is complex, adds Lisa Walker, a whale song theorist. Imagine that as a job title.
Theorist.
No, I think they... The theorist. This one, I think, I'm pretty sure this one's Spice Girls. Yep, no, they're singing Spice Girls at the moment. Stop right now. Thank you. Yep, no, it's definitely Spice Girls. No, I'm sure that's not how it works.
Not to belittle her job.
No, just, no. It's a legit job.
Says the guy
job.
In the dodgy basement in Boston. He's doing impressions of some guy from Romeo and Juliet. In the year 2020.
I could be a whale song enthusiast as well.
I know what's happened here, Reese. This is something that you missed out on, but after Druid Society, we walked past a theater.
Oh.
And the person is someone that I knew who's running it, and he allowed us to sneak into the theater, and we sat downstairs and had beers, and there was a microphone on stage. Buttons got on stage and did 20 minutes of stand-up to no one.
No.
He was that pissed.
That's brilliant.
Oh, my
Wasn't
God.
It good, though?
Well, was it good? I mean, hang
did
on.
Did you capture any of it?
No.
Oh, my God. You've got it there.
Is that what it is?
Yep.
Thank you.
Is that what it is?
It's like, so, who else in here has... issues.
Oh my God.
Because I gotta say, there's a lot of issues I have. I just thought this could be a really good place to. Is this the right time to get my issues? Because
goes for 20 minutes. So,
wow.
I see what's happened here. You've had a taste of the stage buttons, and you're now.
Punchline. No, it's a great punchline to that one. And what about the NPC one? You thought that was a good gag, didn't you?
The NPC one?
I was like, hands up, who's an NPC in my Matrix tonight? You know, because I knew that they were people I could control and make laugh at my jokes.
So, this wasn't just improvised, this was a pre-written set. Remembering it right about. Anyway, so clearly he's had a taste of it, and he now's busting out Shakespearean Legally Blonde sketch comedy.
Yeah,
here on the podcast.
Took me ages to write that, but guys, let me finish my article. Gosh.
Yeah, quickly.
Quickly.
No, have you got a recording of the whale sound? That's what we're waiting for.
Oh yeah, no, I don't. I was hoping you might be able to provide that, Reese.
I've got it here. You ready?
Oh, have you? Good. I told you they were singing Spice Girls.
Oh, That's a good
That's
one.
That's a good one. When SETI finally get contact with aliens, they're going to be like, I'm pretty sure. They're singing us the Spice Girls.
What are they saying?
Just like the whale. Just
Wait,
like
have you got the theorist? Get the theorist.
What are they saying? I think they're saying, here's the story from A to Z. If you want to get with me, God, listen carefully.
God.
Oh man, I tell you what, I'm so glad they've sorted all this out because, you know, I was worried when aliens contacted us that would be screwed, but clearly.
How much money would you make from the Spice Whales?
Oh my God. It's brilliant. Did you see that for Victoria Beckham's birthday? They all got back together again.
Yeah.
So they're going to go back and tour. So
they're
handy.
Not going to tour, are they? I think they just partied.
Well, no, I think that means they're going to tour, surely. That's
no, it
them
doesn't.
Announcing it. What better way
to It was
lovely
to see them together again, though.
It was. Anyway, the scientists believe some of the whale noises are merely social sounds, and they hypothesize that other vocalizations have specific communication values. They could be making demands, says Hubbard. Go up, go down, go here, go there.
Demands.
But, so what was the conversation between the scientists and the whale? And what did it mean? Well, the team was on a boat off the coast of Alaska when they found a whale pod and they played underwater recordings of humpbacks. But despite their best efforts, most of the whales ignored them. Or at least make no discernible acknowledgement.
It doesn't sound like a very good two-way conversation. It sounds to me a bit more like a sort of Leon Buttons Kirkbeck talking to someone else. That type of, we can hear him talking, but let's just keep moving.
That's been, some people do say I do talk a little bit subsonic, sort of low.
Hey, I paid good money groaning. For this cameo, and I wish I hadn't.
Oh. Ten minutes of me making whale noise.
If we do crack it, though, Whale Pod is a good name for their podcast, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Whale Pod.
Whale Pod. Brilliant.
It's perfect.
But then a female humpback named Twain began circling their boat. As scientists played the recorded sounds, Twain began mimicking the noises and calling out to the boat as if to say hello. It was a contact call, said Hubbard. It's how the whales call to each other. They make whoops and thumps, blah, blah, blah. And they say, it might just have been us saying hello and her responding hello and then us saying hello again, explains Walker. But it was definitely communication. She did it 36 times in 20 minutes and only stopped after the playback stopped. Imagine that.
What do you want?
Hello?
What do you want?
Yeah, hi.
I want to take a cigar.
But how screwed are we with aliens if after 20 minutes all they got was hello to each other? That's like, that's the best brains in the business working on it. It's like they tried to contact whales to be able to start communicating with them. It's crazy.
Yeah. It's like, you know, I met Tom Cruise. I had a conversation with Tom Cruise.
What?
Did you?
Well, I was at the premiere and I saw him. I saw him walk past and I went, hey, Tom! Tom! And he definitely looked as though he might have almost looked at me. So there was a conversation there.
And you don't even know whether or not he actually did actually hear you say hello. He might have been hearing you say something.
The funny thing is here, I did hear he got home and he actually told his friend that he had a conversation with Reese Darby.
Oh,
he said, you wouldn't have. He said, yep. I walked past, he went, hey, Tom. But I was too nervous to bloody say anything back. But yeah, he counts that as a convo with me. Wow. So it's, you know what it
20
means?
20 minutes of him walking down the red carpet. Going, hello.
It's perception, isn't it?
Yes.
At the end of the day, that's what we're getting to. Life is about perception.
Yes.
How you perceive yourself. Oh, my hot shield's
you
just come off.
Your what? Your hot shield.
You got
hot spot shield.
Where's his hot shields cover?
Uh-oh. Watch out, guys.
If I start getting Watch too out. Smart, a hot shield comes up because people aren't attracted to to nerds. So basically, if I get a little bit too intellectual, my little hot shield comes up. And it filters away and then I turn back into the lovable idiot again. You guys should get yourself a hot shield.
No, I don't need one. I'm actually seem to be fine without my hot shield. It's like some reason I never need one. Never get hot enough. It's really weird. Doesn't matter how many jackets I put on, I never get hot. It's really weird. Yeah.
It's lukewarm shield. You've been rocking there.
Okay, well, that's exciting stuff. I've actually got something here. I don't know how that actually corresponds to us communicating with aliens, but while you were chatting about this kind of stuff, and I was looking forward to, you know, maybe it being the key to us having the ability to talk to aliens in an alien language, I realized that I'd come across something today that's on one of the websites I enjoy, and it's some archive footage, and I'd like to play this for you if I can, because what it is, it's this chap in the 1960s, and he's being interviewed by a BBC reporter, and he basically is telling the reporter that he can speak three different extraterrestrial languages.
Whoa.
So yeah, you ready for this?
Oh, here we go.
What does that mean, actually?
That means, how are all you? I am very pleased to see you this afternoon.
How many languages can you speak?
I can speak altogether three of the space languages. One is Venusian, the second is Kruger, the planet Kruger 60b, yes, and Pluto.
What about Plutonian? What does that sound like?
Plutonian is
How did you learn these languages?
These languages have been a gift sent from me from the actual people by rays. And even at this moment, although you cannot see them, they are sending these rays down to the...
Wow. That is mental.
Yeah.
He fully believes he can speak those three languages.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's just play
Plutonian.
That. Let's just play the first one again.
Okay, play it again. And yeah, just think about the outboard motor on the whale expedition. Just think of it. Just think about the boat.
Okay.
Before it takes off into the harbour.
We're out on the harbour and we're just about to idle, yeah, because we've seen the whales around,
yeah,
and we know that we want to learn how to speak whale because, yeah, it could be extraterrestrial. Yeah. So this is the sound from the outboard engine.
But for me, it sounds more... Reese, can you go back to the beginning again? This might not sound like it to you guys, but to me,
right,
this is what it sounds like. It sounds exactly like a really intense auction at Sotheby's, and that's the guy taking in the bids.
Okay, so we're at Sotheby's. It's a big auction.
Yeah.
This is for the verified proof of extraterrestrials. There's actually a thing has been caught by some fishermen. They thought it was a whale, but it's actually an extraterrestrial that's landed in the sea.
A USO.
Multiple people bidding. Paddles are coming
up. Multiple people bidding. This is huge. Here we go. Here it is. Sold to Leon Kirkbeck, also known as Buttons, for the Cryptozoological Cryptid Factor Museum.
Yay! Put that whale in my swimming pool, please.
$250,000. Well done, Mr. Buttons. Congratulations.
What's amazing in this video is you see him sitting there. It's a tight close-up on his mouth, slowly reveals his face, and he's meant to be the person communicating with aliens. And then they open the shot to the interviewer,
who absolutely is an alien. When you look at it. Just no question. He's sitting next to an alien.
He's got his hair is all coiffed up like he's just hopped out of bed. He's like, he has no idea how to be a human.
No, he looks like he's zipped up a human suit and he hasn't done the hair. Like he's.
So this, I'll play you this bit here in the video where he shows the BBC reporter that he can also do the writing of aliens, of these languages. No. So he's going to now automatic write. As he does this, he does the voice as well because it's the alien is coming through him. He's going to write something for the reporter to read, okay? This is this next bit here.
Is this a comedy bit?
No, this is for real.
Yeah, this is amazing.
This was real.
Is this from the 60s?
Yeah,
this
the 60s.
Is, looks so like
in
from
addition
the 60s.
To speaking these languages, I believe you can also write them. This is correct.
Yes, I can write these languages.
Could we see an example of their writing, do you think?
Yes, certainly.
What does that mean, actually?
This here means that we are here for a purpose, which is something to do with your Earth that we will reveal later.
I see.
He does some Plutonian writing now.
Could we use some Plutonian writing, do you think?
Certainly.
It's like Japanese characters. He forgets to do the voice until now. Wait till he explains what this one is.
What does that mean, actually?
This means...
Ooh.
Now, they have written this here, a message to you. Before long, in 1969, we are going to show you proof.
Patrick!
Patrick,
actually.
Did you mind?
Isn't that
Patrick
Moore?
Yes!
We have... Patrick Moore!
It is Patrick Moore.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So, and he goes to the alley and goes, so, Patrick, they've called you. Is that, you're right with that. I mean... Yes, no, that's my name, yes.
Wowzers. That's Sir Patrick Moore. God.
It does go to confirm, in some ways, my theory about aliens being time travelers from the future, because I can actually imagine that this is what English and Japanese, all of the languages of the world today, if they were all muddled together in one language, like it sounds like that.
Mm.
Right.
Well, it all started with us communicating with whales. And then this is where we end up.
I believe that he's talking to whales more than he would be aliens, to be quite frank. That writing is ridiculous. The fact that aliens are
wild.
Writing, that they are using pencil and paper.
It's very entertaining. Ugh. So if you do want to check this out, it's on YouTube. It's called Can You Speak Venusian?
Wow, that's insane.
All right, let's do some cryptid news.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
News.
Attention, all personnel. It's time for this week's cryptid. Help me!
Okay, so have you guys seen this latest news about a Sasquatch movie coming out?
Yes, I knew this.
Yeah, you sent a link. Have you watched it?
No, I don't think it's out yet.
It's still doing the festival circuit. It hasn't been released into the cinemas yet. But the entire movie is all Sasquatch-based. So it's about a family of Sasquatches. And yeah, you've got big actors acting in it. I think that Jesse.
Yeah, there is.
What's his surname?
Nathan Zellner and David Zellner's Sasquatch Sunset is what it's called. And it's.
What's the actor's name?
Jesse Eisenberg.
Yeah, Eisenberg. Yeah. He's one of the guys.
Yeah.
So they're all dressed entirely as Sasquatches, and it's about their somewhat disgusting sexual behavior, amongst other things that they just do in the wild. There's not a single word of English spoken in the film, but it's highly, highly entertaining. And people are not sure about it. Some people are walking out, others are walking in.
Halfway through.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I heard about this. I wouldn't mind having a quick look at this, actually. I just watched something down the aisle there. But, you know, when you finish your movie and you see what else is available before you have to leave the cinema. Yeah. So there's getting a few midway walk-ins.
Well, the interesting
Where's Dobbs
thing is,
in this, though? Surely I you should have got the call up for a Sasquatch movie.
I know. I mean,
that was short-sighted.
I tell you, more and more, my kids are experimenting with new shows and movies and stuff on Netflix and so on. So I think it was before the holiday, I'm watching Ninja Turtles and I'm hearing a voice going, I know that voice. And it's Reese as the something, or a hippopotamus or something.
Yeah, hippopotamus, so,
A couple of days ago, I'm in sort of casually reading my book while my boys are watching a Trolls movie. Suddenly I hear this, like, where are we going, guys? I'm like, surely that's not Reese again.
Yeah.
IMDb, it is. You're everywhere.
Trust me, I'm voicing a lot of stuff over the last decade, and it's cool. I just pop up in a lot of animated projects, but I'm more excited with my new one that's coming out this Christmas. Can't say anything too much about it. But
I'm excited about that one too.
Christmas movie coming out of the UK that I'm involved in as well. So,
That's exciting.
Very exciting. Yeah.
Okay. Tuned. Well, but you're not in Sasquatch, which is a huge oversight.
Sasquatch Sunset.
Yeah.
Now, the interesting thing with this movie is that their point of making this movie is that they were saying, the filmmakers, like, there's always Sasquatch movies from the point of view from the humans discovering Sasquatch or seeing Sasquatch.
Yes,
they wanted to make a Sasquatch movie from the point of view from Sasquatch. And so, therefore, it's like a sort of almost like a documentary is the way she's showing how they live and how they fornicate.
There's lots of
rude scenes where they're either fornicating or playing with themselves or what have you. That's why they're saying some people are walking out defecating and all this, like, it's all sort of no holds barred. It's just like nature documentary. It is, but apparently, like, the costumes they had to get into and what have you were just claustrophobic, and like, they went to a lot of effort, and people were already seeing it. And I just saw, I didn't read it because it was a spoiler alert, but it was Sasquatch Sunset ending explained. So if the ending need explained, it must be complicated.
We will watch it as soon as we can, and we'll review it for the show, because we haven't done a movie review for a while.
No, yeah, we can bring back the sting for the movie review. Anyway, so that's that news.
Well, that's the main thing.
Yeah. What else? What other news we got?
So I was just looking at the IMDb trivia section. I always love that bit. But Sasquatch says, no dialogue is spoken by the actors. They only speak in grunts and other guttural noises.
Yeah, that would have been easy. No lines to learn.
Yeah, yeah. The actors took lessons from a mime on how to perform exaggerated expressions. So they had mime training in order to do Sasquatch.
Another thing I wouldn't need to do. Yeah. I mean, they really missed out on having me there.
Yeah, fools. All right, well, I do have some news here. This is quite exciting, this news, which is that there was a very famous case in the UK in 1855 in Devon, where after heavy snowfall, cloven hooves were found to go for 100 miles across gardens, fields, and rooftops, and they became to be known as the Devil's Footprints. So these became known as the Devil's Footprints. And, you know, people thought it was Satan. Satan had come out and he'd got caught with his footprints having walked all the way through. So this is, as I say, February 1855. And it's been a mystery for over 170 years now, because people have sort of always just brought it up and it's a bit of lore and myth.
Mm.
But a documentary filmmaker has retraced the route of the footprints by air, and they've come to a big conclusion, which is that They believe it was an escaped big cat prowling the countryside.
Oh.
And this is a theory that they've then taken to places, and they've found and confirmed by reports of a private animal collection and menagerie in the area that were destroyed by the blizzard, which meant that these animals were out in the roam. So they believe that that's exactly what it was. But what that means is this was the first ever recorded big cat sighting in the UK ever.
Oh, wow.
So it's gone from the devil's footprints to now us knowing that it was a big cat.
That's more exciting.
Yeah.
Because that really certifies the ABC phenomenon and when it probably began.
Exactly. This
wow.
is like patient zero
yes,
of big cats.
Exactly.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So
freaking time.
Very cool.
Wow.
Are you saying about freaking time for the 170-year-old mystery?
Yeah.
Yeah, yes. Right.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what.
It's been a little while.
Some closure for Buttons in this episode.
I've been waiting. I've been sending time travelers back to teach thespians all manner yeah. of Shakespeare plays to go back in
Buttons
time
is going
and
back
out.
And forth in time constantly. You know, future Buttons, historic Buttons. And so we do forget that, you know, especially when future Buttons has to sort of teach historic Buttons what to do. He's got to go right back to an early version of himself and tell him to go forward to 2020, 2020.
It's complicated, guys.
And, you know, one of them knows is the town crier and he's confused. He doesn't know any Shakespeare whatsoever, but he's been told to be the Shakespearean actor from God knows what to confuse people when they're doing a play about bloody Legally Blonde or some shit. I mean, it's an absolute. It's like when you get your cables tangled behind the television. That's the living embodiment of his life. Okay, so I was just going. Oh, now you can rebuttal. You'll give you 1 minute if you've got something to say.
No, I just couldn't believe that I actually said 2020 when I was trying to. Say. The date with all the twos, yeah. four yeah. twos.
It's going to be the trailer for the Cryptid Factor movie.
In the year 2020. There were some people, but I got to say there weren't many. I appeared. Legally Blonde was still on Broadway. On Broadway!
So Broadway's still around as well.
Alfred Alfred on the Broadway time. I never will forget when I discovered the extraterrestrial whale pod with my outboard motor. Shh, he's talking, guys. He's talking. Take it out of neutral, you dickhead.
It'd be so good if Patrick had said that to that guy talking Venetian. He goes, just take it out of neutral, you dickhead. You're just idling there, mate.
Now, look, the UK is known for the alien big cats, and we love them to bits. But what it's not known for usually is Bigfoot. However, here's a news article here from The Mirror that came out recently. And it says, fears, UK's own Bigfoot stalking national park with huge clue, growling creature can't be human.
Okay,
so that, for a start, doesn't make much sense.
No.
But it is The Mirror. But anyway, let's just move into the article. I just rechecked my reading of it, and that is what it says. What? Huge clue, growling creature can't, with huge clue. Oh, I think it just needs a comma after...
Kids don't use commas anymore.
Why don't they put commas in the headlines? I suppose you don't.
No punctuation anymore.
Yeah,
no
that's, punctuation. What's the world coming to?
All over.
I know, and I get told off for putting full stops or periods if you're American in my texts.
No, don't do that.
Can't do that
no,
in any
yeah,
messages
you're not allowed to do
or
that
anything.
Anymore.
The kids look at me, oh, what are you doing? You don't put, I mean, oh, I just can't believe it.
Are you angry, they say. Are you angry because you're using a full stop?
Oh, is that what they're saying? Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, you?
Yeah, you only use full stops if you're angry.
Wow. Oh, wow. Can you imagine these poor people right now? They've discovered Bigfoot in Britain. They've put out their press release and everyone's too distracted by the weird punctuation or lack of to actually discuss.
Well, anyone over 30 is looking at it going, hang on, here's UK's own Bigfoot stalking national park with huge clue growling creature. Huge clue growling creature. Well, that's badly written. I tell you what, it does. It wouldn't. I'll put a comma in there after huge, Nathan. Well, hang on, let's have a look at this. Fears UK's own Bigfoot stalking national park with huge clue growling creature. No, it's not. That doesn't work. Right, put it in after the clue. I think put it in after. All right, there we go. Put it after huge clue. Yep. National park after huge, well, with huge clue.
Yeah, comma.
Yep. Growling creature can't be human.
There you go.
Oh, I like that. Yeah, there we go. Unfortunately, we've run out of time to read the article, but
it was a doozy.
It was very good. Basically, to sum it up, with no punctuation whatsoever, fishermen making late-night visits to an idyllic lake in South Downs have revealed that a growling creature patrols the area and has been spotted escaping down a dangerous hill.
What?
Okay. I would also like to point out...
they gave a description of the creature?
Well, let me just point this out first. There's two words in that paragraph that had inverted commas in.
Okay.
The word growling
and
the word dangerous. So what does that tell you? It says that you read it as revealed that a growling creature patrols the area and has been spotted escaping down a dangerous hill.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah. No, that's so, they're not believing even themselves.
I don't understand what people are doing. If you're going to use grammar, then okay, that's one thing. But then using grammar in a way that's mocking yourself.
They've used all of their commas and inverted them and whacked them around some words in this thing. That's why. They use their quotient of commas and by inverting
it's
them.
It's like leaving nails up on a shelf, going, I'll get them in a minute and put them where they need to be. They're just sort of like waiting.
Yeah.
Waiting to be used. Where'd you leave the commas? We left them above growling and dangerous, if you need them.
Oh, no. And the photo they've used this as well is just a guy in a suit from Getty Images. Really bad one.
Oh, no.
That's not good.
But
that's not good.
But let me have a look. I just want to read a brief on the article itself, just for those that are interested. Okay, so these reports basically coming in of a mysterious creature allegedly seen and heard more predominantly on several occasions around one of the region's lakes, okay? Mm. The region being South Downs. Some of these reports come courtesy of a fisherman who claims to have encountered a growling creature on a particularly rough piece of terrain with a sharp incline. Okay, so this is this dangerous hill thing.
Ooh.
And he says, I felt incredibly on edge and it was a feeling I can honestly say I've never experienced before or since. It really was as if something was watching me and I was not welcome. So that's quite cool because people have felt that before, you know, when you're being watched and that kind of thing. And then people do correspond that to Bigfoot quite a bit.
Yeah.
He says, I think, though, the most standout thing is the terrain being covered in the dark. It sounds dangerous enough to attempt in the daylight, let alone in the dark. When you can't see any obvious signs of torchlight, that's the really scary part because no human could do it without suffering injury. So there was this figure that was on there, there was no lights, and then he's hearing the growling.
Mm.
So he says, I was dozing on my chair next to the rods, these very late night fishermen, you see, when I was woken by a loud growl from the opposite bank, he said. The creature, whatever it was, seemed to run at a considerable speed on two legs.
What?
He was so unnerved by the incident that he quickly packed up his things and left. The hairs on my arms stood up, he says.
They would.
But could there really be a Bigfoot-like creature stalking the shores of the lake? It's worth recalling the recent case. There was another one I was going to pull up of a Bigfoot sighting in Washington State that actually turned out to be a cross-country runner. And
growling.
Yeah, and this one went on the BFRO website, in the Bigfoot RO.
Oh, yeah.
Because...
the Bigfoot RO.
I don't know what the RO stands for, I can't remember.
Research organization.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Yeah, it is. Well done, you. Well done.
Thank you.
It's been a while since we've mentioned them. Yeah. But, yeah, so someone saw a big figure, but the guy who was there, I don't know how he found out, but he must have got on the site and maybe found out the news. And he checked his watch, which had a satellite running smartwatch thing, showed him the route of his run, and he said, oh, no, that was me. Oh, that was right up on the edge there.
No.
Yep, that was me, mate.
Is that all it was?
Yeah.
Is that all it was? Actually, legitimately.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so sad. That is so sad.
But that's not this one. That's another story. That's one that...
But it's good when
if it is you, own up to it. Don't let these guys, genuinely people are freaking out about certain things and are rushing to conclusions.
But the UK is such an overpopulated, and there's not a lot of bush or forestry that is big enough to house a family of Bigfoot. It almost makes you think interdimensional stuff or what have you.
True.
Because you can't imagine.
No, there's not a population roaming through the forests in the UK. 100% no. Which is why we generally don't see or hear of them there. So, the question is out on this one. It is also possible that the fisherman could have mistaken a conventional animal for something that more unusual in the darkness, of course.
Conventional two-legged animal, like a
human.
Yeah. Is the only other two legged one.
Here's my question. Where did Jesse Eisenberg rehearse his acting role for Sasquatch Sunset? Because he was actually reportedly staying in South Downs at the time.
He's very method, isn't he?
Yeah.
He lived for 6 months with the British Bigfoot.
One of the interesting things they said that shooting the movie, the Bigfoot outfits were so convincing, they had to be walked around all the time by a human minder with an orange vest on stop hunters, actually taking them out. Because otherwise somebody would be like, holy shit, there's a Bigfoot. I'm going to shoot it and take it as a trophy.
That happened, we've mentioned this, on Return of the Jedi.
Yeah.
Oh, Chewbacca had to be taken around by high-vis guys in the North Californian forests for the exact same reason.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah.
And for good reason, too, because my very brief Crypto Buzzo news article is Washington sheriff receives bizarre Sasquatch call from curious hunter. And basically, the article is just about how in Washington State, a sheriff got a call from a hunter wanting to go into the woods to hunt Sasquatch. And it was a bona fide legit call where this hunter was calling. He said he had concerns about if it was legal to actually kill a Sasquatch and whether or not, if he did see a Sasquatch and killed it, if he would be imprisoned or if he was doing anything illegal.
Oh, God.
And he asked, he said, is a regular hunting license enough to keep his Sasquatch hunt legal? So this guy obviously was going in there 100% convinced that he had the ability to be able to shoot a Sasquatch, and quite rightly is obviously kind of going, shit, if I do shoot one, is somebody going to turn on me and go, oh no, you're going to prison, mate. You just shot an endangered species or something like that. So I guess that article just goes to prove that those actors, everybody from Chewbacca through to the Sasquatch Sunset people.
It's a dangerous, dangerous role to have. I can see why you'd need that. Yeah, especially because, you know, from the shorts I've seen of the trailer for that movie, I mean, they're very realistic.
Yeah.
Especially what you can do these days. And back in the day, in fact, it would be worth watching just to see how good the suits are, because whether they have muscle definition and that kind of thing. Because when you think about the 1960s Patterson-Gimlin footage, you know, does it hold up to that?
Well, that's the interesting thing. Guess where they shot the movie? right where the Patterson-Gimlin footage was actually taken.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
that's awesome.
Went back into that space, yeah.
God, imagine if some actual Sasquatches got involved as well and saw the humans like dressed and started to believe and sort of come over and, you know, just be part of it.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
No, I'm an actor. Leave me. No. Oh God, please, man. Cut.
It'd be awesome if the Bigfoot comes up and they're like, there's a real Bigfoot. And the Bigfoot comes up and goes, I don't Is it? Mate, you sound like an Evan Rude outboard, an idol. He put it into first gear, mate.
Well,
yeah, fucking dick.
I love you in The Social Network, Mr. Eisenberg. Welcome to my world. It's no Legally Blonde, but still a fine movie. May not be playing in the year 2020, but I assure you now, if you go back in time, it'll be one for the future watch.
All right, well, on that note, we should head off because we are trying to be more regular these days.
Yes.
And by that I mean I do need to go to the bathroom. So thanks for listening. Stay close, but not too close, even though, you know, we're all good mates and all that. We're all friends, but if you do want to go that step further and join in Mateo, please don't look me up. I will not swipe left.
20% off if you request me on Mateo.
20% off what? Your time? Your sentence in jail?
20% off in Mateo fees if you request me.
Yeah, but Dan, Dan's corresponding desperate to the jail app.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Right. Oh yeah, yeah, not Cameo. I'm talking the jail. 20% off my sentence if you match me.
If you get with me, you get 20% off your sentence.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I've done it. I've looked into it. Yeah, it's probably worth doing.
Just do it.
When I get out, will you be out there?
Oh no, I'm in here for life, love. No worries. No way I'm getting out of here. Yeah. Although I am looking into flatlining, so just be aware because my life sentence might be up in a minute. Oh.
Now, if you wouldn't mind just choking me a little bit, that'd be much appreciated. Not too much, mind you.
I'm nearly dead.
Oi, you guys, stop that in there. I know what you're up to. Don't stop you trying to unalive each other, aren't you? So you can stop my sentences. No, I'm not having that.
Unalive each other. So I heard he killed him. No, he didn't kill him. He just unalived him.
All right, I'll talk to you guys next week. Bye. Bye. Bye.
Put it into gear, you bloody dickhead.
Dude, finally.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Planning for your next trip?
elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.